Dear reader, I don't know if anyone will actually read this, and I don't expect you to believe me if you do. I guess maybe I have some far-flung hope that you'll read this and be able to help me, help us. At the very least, I can get my story out there. When I was a kid, my ma used to say, "When you hear a person's story, mijo, it's like you become a part of it." I always ask people their stories so that they can live on in you. I guess I took that lesson to heart. Maybe this story will live on in you now. Every weekend, Ma and I rode the train to Santa Fe to visit my abuela. We'd go up on Friday and come back on Sunday, and I'd always sit on the window seat and watch the world go by. I remember there was this bridge, a rickety old wood one, the kind of one where you wonder how it stays up under the weight of the train. They don't use it anymore, not since they built the new track. But there's still this hiking path that goes by it if you ever need to find it. Back then, though, the train went right over it. The cars would shake a little as they passed over, and I used to think it was scary. I would hold on real tight to the armrests and shut my eyes until we were over. Then I'd be all mad at myself for being such a coward. Every time I'd try to be a little bit more brave, clench those armrests a little less tight, peek out just a tiny bit. Once I even managed to take a quick glance out the window. That was the first time I saw him. It was only for a split second, not even long enough to really remember anything about him, but long enough to think about him later. On the ride home on Sunday, I asked my ma if we could sit facing the other side of the train, even though we always sat on the same side, there and back. I wanted to see if I could see him again. I wasn't sure he'd still be there. I wanted him to be, though, and something in my gut told me he would be. I kept repeating this mantra in my head. "You're gonna look. You're gonna be brave. Don't shut your eyes." It worked. I kept them open the whole time and got a real good look at him this time. He was a ragged guy, with a torn yellow blazer and all kinds of holes in it. His pants looked like they used to be a bright green with pinstripes, but had gotten faded from the sun. He only had on one shoe, and it had a hole where his big toe was sticking out. He had the same hole on his sock on the other foot. His face was worn and tired, but still had a big smile beneath that matted beard. He had an old straw hat, the kind with a flat top and the colorful band you see guys wear in the old photos from the 20s. He was looking up at the window as the train passed, and I could see his mouth moving like he was singing. He had a banjo hung around his neck, and the silver rim of it glistened in the sunset. I watched him for as long as I could. I pressed my face up against the window so I could watch him until he faded into the distance. Maybe it was just in my head, but it looked like he turned to keep looking at me too. I watched him every time after that. I never felt scared about the bridge again. Every time he was wearing the same thing, standing in the same place, singing to the train, singing to me. Eventually, my abuela passed, so we stopped riding that train. For a while after, I still thought about the banjo player every now and then. Eventually, though, I forgot about him. It's been decades now, and I'm not that little boy anymore. Now I'm a man. With a job and a family. I don't have time to be thinking about silly old men singing songs to passing trains. But with things like this, you can't escape them forever. That's just it, though. That's why I'm writing this. I saw him again. I had a friend come into town to visit last month. She's a fan of Breaking Bad and a full-blown annoying tourist. Apparently, that old rickety bridge was used in the show. So, of course, we had to go see it. We drove out in my car. It was the first time we had ever been out there where I wasn't just passing by. It was actually a real bitch to get to, pardon my language. It was almost sunset, just like it was when we'd be coming home on the train. We pulled up to the bridge, and there he was again. Still in the same spot, the same suit, the same banjo, the same age. He wasn't facing the bridge, though. He was facing us. I couldn't see his face or nothing because he had the sun at his back, so he was all washed out. I still looked shook because my friend asked me if I was okay. I asked her if she saw the guy and she said no. She just wanted to take pictures before the sunset. She kept trying to get me out the car, but I refused. How could that guy still be there? It had been years, a lifetime. But finally, my friend gave up and went on her own. When she opened the car door, I heard a few twings of the banjo strings, and then the door shut again. She stood there and took photos just a few feet from the guy and acted like there was nothing going on. I don't think I said a word the whole ride back. My friend's home now, and without her distracting me, I kept thinking about the banjo man. I had to go back out there. I drove up last week. The sun was facing him this time, so I got a good look at him. He looked exactly the same, down to every wrinkle and knot in his beard. I finally got the courage to get out of the car. He stopped playing for a second and just stood watching me as I got closer to him. This was the first time I'd seen him up close. He didn't look all that much older than me, but his age showed a lot more on his face than mine. The thing that stood out the most was his banjo. It was clean and pristine. It looked brand new almost. It was beautiful, and the metal rim around the drum head looked like real silver. There were carvings of vines that swirled and wound through the strings until finally blossoming into brilliant pink and purple flowers on the head at the top. The man's face was straight as he watched me study his instrument. He wasn't smiling, but he didn't look sad neither. Then he smiled when I met his gaze. And even though he was smiling, he looked pained. He started playing again, and I froze in place. As he played, he turned toward the bridge. He looked over his shoulder and cocked his head, making it clear he wanted me to follow him. I did, and we marched along to the rhythm of his song. He nodded his head to the underside of the bridge, and I turned what he wanted me to find. There was some trash and such, but nothing real special. I looked back to the banjo man, seeing if he'd tell me what he wanted me to see. He looked up at the underside of the bridge, and I followed his gaze. Hanging from the tracks was a piece of tattered and worn rope. It looked old, really old. It was falling apart. I looked at the ground beneath it and saw what looked to be bones. It rattled me. I backed away, not wanting to look anymore, but the man blocked my path. He nodded to the bones, clearly wanting me to look at them closer. I shook my head, refusing. He didn't push, but he didn't budge either. Finally, I conceded and walked up to them. I looked, and they were old too. The years had eaten away at them, but it was clear what they were. There was a piece of fabric stuck to one of them. It was a faded green and had a pinstripe running down it. I looked at the man's pants, the same fabric. I looked up at his face. He was no longer smiling. There were tears glistening in his eyes. He nodded over to the corner where the bridge met the ground. I walked over and found the banjo case. It was empty. There was a photo stuck to the lid of it. It was the man with his banjo and a young girl. She sat on his lap and was strumming the strings while he smiled down at her. I looked up at him again and he nodded solemnly. "Where's the banjo?" I asked him. He only shrugged. I looked back at the case and realized what he was trying to tell me. It was stolen, wasn't it? Your resting place was ransacked. Is that why you're still here? Is that why you can't find the piece? He stopped playing and stared at me. He smiled and nodded one last time. "I will help you," I told him. "I promise I will do everything I can. And I mean that. Really." I've been searching now, looking in pawn shops and thrift stores, showing everyone who will look at the photo of that man and his banjo that I got out of his case, seeing if anyone had seen the banjo with the flowers in the head. So that's why I'm writing this. I know it's probably a lost cause and a long shot, but hey, no harm trying, right? So if you ever come across that banjo, and maybe you'll do me and my friend a favor, and take it back to the old rickety bridge and put it back in its case. I go back every weekend again, back to the same spot and listen to one of his songs. It's the least I can do, until I can help him. Every weekend, though, I have hope. Hope that I'll drive up, and he won't be there. Leo.
El Campo Santo was made in the shadow of the Sandia Mountains in the heart of Albuquerque, New Mexico by Blackout Theater Company. Our goal is to tell the stories of Albuquerque and New Mexico on stage, screen, and anywhere else you are. This podcast was made possible with generous support from the City of Albuquerque City Council Department of Arts and Culture, New Mexico Arts, and the Urban Enhancement Trust Fund. If you like this podcast, you should check out our Season 1 of El Campo Santo and another podcast, Pred 101. If you would like to learn more about our plays and any other works, check out our website at blackouttheater.com.